The main focus of my research has been on the interaction between thrips and nematodes, and I also have been looking at the efficacy of seed treatments in their control. Today, I'd like to give you a background of the thrips and nematodes. I'll state my objective of the study, discuss how the studies were organized and laid out, and my materials and methods, and I'll conclude with results and discussion. Thrips infest 95% of cotton acreage and can cause yield losses up to 45%. And the main species that we have in Arkansas is the Franklinella fusca, the tobacco thrips, and it comprises up to 95% of infield populations. The egg is deposited into plant tissue, two larval stages and the adult stage feed on the leaf surfaces. And they feed on individual cells, and they affect cotton at a vulnerable growth stage when developing tissues are concentrated in small areas. Symptoms are evident in leaf silvering, leaf crinkling, and in some infestations you even see loss of apical dominance, and that's actually what we've seen in our studies this year and in this bottom right picture. And control is traditionally in-furrow compounds, seed treatments, and in some situations, foliar applications can be utilized. The main traditionally root knot nematode has been the dominant species nematode pest in Arkansas. However, ringiform populations have been building. The root knot nematode is an endoparasitic nematode and it's feeding inside the root tissue up here in this right picture here. And that causes galls visible externally on the roots. And the above ground symptoms include stunted plants, delayed maturity, and can sometimes resemble nutrient deficiencies. The ringiform nematode it's a semi-endoparasitic nematode. It feeds from the outside on the flowing tissue, and you can see this in the bottom right picture here. And it causes an overall decrease in root system and can cause severely stunted tap roots. And above ground symptoms are similar to the root knot nematode. When these pests are together, their combined effect is greater than either of their effects alone. And this image here was taken about 45 days after planting, and there was 46% yield loss compared to where there was 46. Percent yield loss in where both pests were present and uncontrolled, and stand was significantly reduced. Where nematodes alone were infecting cotton, I found 11% yield losses, and where the thrips alone were present, I found 21% yield losses. And all these percents are compared to where both pests were controlled. The objective of this study was to determine if the seed treatments are effective in controlling the combined impact of thrips and nematodes on cotton. Two studies were conducted in 2007 growing season, one in Lone Oak County, naturally infested with root knot nematode, and one in Monroe County, infested with ringiform nematode. Studies were planted on the 1st of May in a randomized complete block design, and they were monitored similarly except for the root assessments. And for the root knot nematodes, we've done a root galling, and for the ringiform nematodes, we've done a tap root link as for their root assessments. Some of the plant monitoring that we done was we had above and below ground biomasses. We also done note above white flower counts and numerous other plant monitoring techniques, but them will be the ones that I'll discuss today. And the statistical analysis was analysis of variance, p less than 0.05. Trends were similar. We found similar trends with both studies, and due to time constraints, I'll focus on the Monroe County location. And it's infested with ringiform nematodes. 10 treatments were utilized in both studies, and with the treatments that I have in white here, I'll kind of discuss as a more of an efficacy. These are designed for my efficacy treatments, and then the yellow treatments are my interaction treatments. And they were designed to emit or do the best that we could to emit the pest that we wanted to emit. And For our thrips treatment, we used a seed treatment, Gaucho Grande, followed by a foliar application, and that was to eliminate the thrips. And for our nematode treatment, we used Telone, applied 2 weeks prior to planting, and we had a combination of controlling both pests. And this really gives us a good idea of, we can compare the efficacy treatments to what our best attempt at controlling that pest is. And our efficacy treatments were our Gaucho Grande, our Aris, an experimental compound, Timic, and Cruiser in the Evicta Complete Pack. We have treatment on the x-axis and thrips numbers on the y-axis here. And we can see that most of our efficacy treatments significantly controlled thrips compared to our treatments where there was no thrips control. And we're running about 300 thrips, and that's over 4 sampling dates. Our reniform nematode populations is on our y-axis, and Arkansas's threshold is represented by the green line. And we can see that where nematodes were not controlled with the Telone, that there was significantly higher populations than our economic threshold. We have treatment on the x-axis and plant dry weight in grams on the y-axis. And we can see, and this is our plant dry weights, and this is at first square. And this kind of just gives us the idea of how hardy that plant is and how it might be able to, maybe we can forecast a little bit with that. So where our thrips and nematode treatment was applied, we had significantly higher dry weight, and where in our untreated check, we had significantly lower, and all other treatments were similar. And this slide shows treatment in the x-axis and average root length in inches on the y-axis. And we can see that where the thrips and nematode treatment was in place, we had a significantly higher taproot length. And we had some numerical differences with our Aris, but no, it was not significantly different with our the taproot lengths. Note above white flower was utilized to document treatment's earliness of maturity. And an increase in note above white flower would indicate a delay in maturity here. So, and 5 nodes above white flower is traditionally the physiological cutout. We went ahead and followed our nodes above white flower down to 4 just to ensure that we had knew that the treatment was mature. And we can see that all of our efficacy treatments all matured about the same time, but where we had our untreated check where both pests were present and where thrips were present in our nematode treatment, that caused a delay in maturity in both instances. And these were actually significantly different at both of these days, the nematode treatment and the untreated check. So the nematodes were having an effect, a delay on maturity also. It's not just the thrips. In this graph, we have treatment on the x-axis, and we have yield in pounds per acre on the y-axis. And we can observe that with our thrips and nematode treatment, we had significantly higher yield. And some of the other important trends, we can just see that our untreated check was significantly lower than some of our other treatments. And we didn't really see a whole lot of differences here on yield. A quick summary here, thrips inhibited cotton growth, development, and maturity, and thrips control was comparable for all seed treatments. The nematodes did impact these studies, and especially in the presence of thrips. It is unclear at this time what role the addition of the nematicides played in these studies, though. Cotton growth and development is influenced by an interaction between thrips and nematodes. And these seed treatments were effective at combating the combined impact by just decreasing, it kind of helped out. You know, it didn't necessarily, wasn't a cure-all, but it did help out. And with our seed treatments that include a nematicide will be beneficial in the control of these pests, or that's what we feel we'll find. And we're doing more greenhouse studies and things to document this in a controlled environment. I'd like to acknowledge Bayer Crop Sciences and Don Johnson and John Hall for providing locations for to conduct the studies. And I'll take any questions at this time.
We have a few minutes for questions. The 300-foot plot for the week, what does that constitute for number of plot leaves?
Approximately seven or eight per leaf and or per plant. And that's significant. You know, that's pretty high populations. Are there any other questions? Thank you.
No other questions. Thank you.